What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
More regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war on drugs.
Libertarianism.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Hello, this is Notes from the Future, here to tell you that the music you hear behind Tuke's voice is by William Molson. He's an Austin-based musician, and you can find more of his music on soundcloud.com/William Molson. Molson spelled M-A-L-S-A-M. Thank you for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. What would save the world?
Welcome to the free thinker of Shiva's cloud. My name is Siddhartha G. Omniverse. I'm just one of the many opinions on Tuke Edelo's What Would Save the World. And today, I'm going to tell you a tale. I inhaled the sacred herb and I walked down the path to Nirvana. To Nirvana's couch, where Shiva sits, holding the number 23 in the crevice of each of his many hands. And I asked him if the reptilian overlords were real. He handed me a triangle, and I knew it represented the destroyed concept of masculinity in our mad, imbalanced, over-emotional, and sensitive world. There is a war on men, said Shiva, the destroyer. We looked into each other's third eyes, and without a single spoken word, from the core of our pineal glands, projected the vibration that said, let's destroy that war on men. This has been the free thinker of Shiva's cloud. My name is Siddhartha G. Omniverse. Thank you for listening. Now to return to that feminist bullshit that is What Would Save the World. Not that show.
Sarah Jane Dillon is another local artist I know. She does comedy and the like. So, Sarah, what do you think would save the world?
Fuck, what would save the world? Right now, this America Light is saving my world.
Does beer save the world?
Beer helps me deal with this political climate we find ourselves in, I suppose.
Were people drinking before the political climate? Did people need substances and crutches before the political climate? Do you feel like there has been this, like, awakening to the fact that everything is god-fucking-terrible? And everybody's suddenly just like, oh, wow, I never noticed how fucked we were before. Let me drink just as much and smoke just as much as before, but pretend like it's more?
I mean, fuck. I just feel like I woke up in this, like, Orwellian nightmare. It's like a waking nightmare. I don't know. It's fucking weird as fuck.
Have you ever had a nightmare as scary as this?
You know what? I actually had a nightmare last night. That was pretty strange. You know, we're facing getting our reproductive rights taken away, and I was like, whatever, I was like hanging out, and I was like, shit, I'm pregnant, and you know, like, whatever, fucking how many weeks went by, and it just was like too late, and I was like, what am I gonna do, what am I gonna do, and then fucking like Trump just shows up out of nowhere and just like grabs me right by the pussy and like yanks my baby out, and I just like woke up in a cold sweat, like covered in Cheetos, and I was like, fuck, he was here.
Is that a dream you actually had? Is that a dream you actually
had? I did have that nightmare. I mean, yeah, like, does anyone else have, like, these pre-apocalyptic nightmares? I don't know. It's, like, it didn't happen yet, but, like, shit, like, I don't know. It's freaking me out. I don't know if it's just, like, I don't know what the fuck it is.
Yo.
That doesn't seem real, but it is. Fuck.
Maybe it's not. Maybe what happened is the Y2K bug actually happened. No, now I'm just like referencing this other video I made. Oh man, I told that this other guy who's going to come on the show that it was at a different address than it's at. And he's all upset that he's late, but really he should be upset with me because I'm the stoner pothead. What would save the world is if I got time together. Luckily, this is just going to be sort of like an outtakes cut that we put at the end of this episode. But it's not an outtake because we're putting it in there.
Putting it in.
Yeah.
We've got time to kill. It's cool.
So let's just talk about some serious shit for a minute. So you were talking to me before about some fact-checking stuff. Talk to me about fact-checking.
So, you know, we consume media, like, pretty much every day. I mean, we're all on Facebook and reading up on the New York Times and Slate and all that bullshit, which is good. Like, I feel like, actually, some op-ed pieces for the New York Times are pretty, you know, factual. But I don't know. I mean, I would suggest before, like, really sharing anything, like, on a media outlet such as Facebook, like, just, you know, like, check to make sure everything is true, because like
what is the truth, Sarah?
That fucking we're gonna have to survive a Trump presidency. It could be bad. It could be great for some fucking people, but like not for me. I mean, I'm like fucking a queer woman, like trying to like do comedy, I guess. Like it's hard to like laugh in like a strange time like this, but
oh no, this is the best time to laugh.
I think
that we should literally just look at a Trump presidency as a giant joke. Like obviously there's going to be some things that we need to take seriously, but look at him, he's a fucking jester. We elected a jester, and like it's looking like the Russians got involved. It's like the Cold War never ended. It's like revival of the Cold War. Like I feel like this is like,
but it's heating up.
Yeah, this is like an old school like Broadway bullshit, you know? This is like we're going to have like a Broadway show called The Cold War. The Cold War, it's back. The Cold War, it's back. We need all the oil and we need you to give us some slack. That was the worst parody ever of a nothing song. But
it's springtime in America for fucking.
Yeah, I don't understand how any Hasidic Jews, like, I mean, I it's like Hasidic Jews, like, voted for Trump. Like, 66% of Williamsburg, or the very Hasidic part, voted for Trump. Like, I love me some Jews. Like, I love my Jews. But, like, damn, like, do you really think you and Muslims are that different? Like, I say this all the time on this show. I'm like, Muslims and Jews are just not that different, you know?
It's just like this.
Well, nobody's that different. That's why it's like, don't you? Almost every person understands like what somebody abusing them feels like, or what oppression feels like. Like not on the same level. Obviously, there's like differences, but it's like think of the worst pain you ever felt, and then like don't want other people to have to feel that. Like most people understand, at least in some history of their family, like what genocide or what discrimination is. Like every person who's come to this country, other than like Anglo-Saxon Christian white people, like, have experienced bullshit. Like, if you're Irish, you probably have stories like that. If you're Black, you definitely have stories. If you're Hispanic or Latina, you definitely have stories. You know, everybody has stories of this shit. So it's like, I don't understand how we let this happen, how we let this, like, Hitler-like fucker, like, in the White House.
He's not even going to live there, right? He's, like, going to chill in fucking, like, Trump Tower or whatever.
I don't know. And I think he's going to continue The Apprentice. Did you hear this? He is going to continue
Apprentice 2.0, producing The Apocalypse Edition.
Apprentice White House Edition. Like,
I think that what he's going to do is he's going to find some way to get rid of Pence and, like, get the new vice president on a reality TV show.
Dude, straight up, I, like, watched his, like, acceptance speech, like, all the way through. And, like, he spent so much time, like, thanking his wife and his kids and his whatever the fuck. And, like, at the very last minute, he was just like, all right. And, like, Mike Pence, like, whatever.
No, he doesn't care about Mike Pence. He has Mike Pence to get the conservative vote. That's why he did, to get, like, the religious conservative. Oh, like, God. Trump got, like, the bro libertarian. Like, not the libertarian. I've met very smart libertarians. Not to be, like, I don't even know what the word for this is yet. But, like, I've never met, like, a dumb woman libertarian. I've never met them. I've heard about them on the internet. But usually the libertarians...
Bro libs matter.
I've never met, like, a dude... Not a dude. I've never met a woman libertarian in real life that I thought was an idiot. Most men I meet in real life were libertarians. I don't want to call them idiots because I think it's mean. But I don't want to be mean, but most bro libertarians I've met just, like, don't want to acknowledge that race is even, like, a thing, or, like, want to argue with me about, like babies being, or, like aborted babies being just as worthwhile as a mother's life. And it's like, yeah, like, God. I get that. Like, I understand that. Like,
Hey, dude, you know how you were born?
Yeah, it's like, and I understand when people are like, oh, the baby, like, is a life or whatever. Like, I understand feeling that way. Like, I do. But it's like, you cannot, like, tell somebody else what their risk is. That's a decision that's, like, between them and, like, their doctor, their non-religious doctor's opinion. You know what I mean? Like, if your doctor says there's a risk for you being in nature, and even if your doctor doesn't say so, there is always a risk if you go through with a pregnancy. And, like, some of that stuff is intuition stuff. Like, I know that I should probably not have children with my body. I do not think I would do well with a pregnancy emotionally. Like, there's some things that, like, it's just... It's, like, really, really insane to be, like, you have to sacrifice yourself. It's very, like, forceful Jesus. You know, it's, like, wanting women to be forced to be Jesus. You know, bear the burden of, like, what could potentially be our next Messiah, because there's no way that you could be the Messiah. Do you know, like, what I mean? Do you hear what I'm saying with that?
I mean, like, I feel like Joan of Arc probably could...
Yeah, the Joan of Arc. Yeah, Joan of Arc. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like... This, like, thing, this, like, very,
I'm,
like...
I'm definitely donating to that fucking charity, the Joan of Arc Foundation.
Oh, let's start the Joan of Arc Foundation. It's where,
My mother gets to choose, like, what she does with her body and how she feels safe and, like, should be able to make decisions.
And
like,
women who get abortions are the Messiah. All of them are the collective Messiah.
I love the mantra.
But, you know, but it really is just this minor, not so minor. It's actually, like, pretty obvious. But the way I feel like society views it, it's, like, this very, very clear devaluing of women. Like, even if the baby was going to be a child, people would be like, they could be, you know, the man who invents the cure for this. The man, you know, it's always like, oh, and then what about the father? I'm the father. That was my seed. I spread my seed there. And again.
It's like, dude, you also spread your seed all over my tits last night. But, like,
you also did it
every single sperm fucking matters.
Like, oh, my God. Sperm lives matter. Sperm lives matter.
That's, they were great swimmers, okay?
They were great swimmers. They were great.
Them.
Oh, my God.
You
were you there when I...
swimming around in my ball sack.
Oh, my God.
So well.
Did you... Oh, man, I've been saying this in stand-up for a while about, like, commune. Did you hear me do this? I was talking about, like, this is, like, a bit ahead. I was talking about being, like, on the commune and how if something... So you still live in a commune, people who are listening who don't know me. By the way, you're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. And I used to live in a commune. And on that commune, there, like, you know, occasionally, because it's unavoidable, somebody would do something, like, creepy or, like, rapey, because men everywhere, okay, hashtag not all men, but, like, honestly, men, hashtag men everywhere do this shit, even on the commune. And there, you know, I said, well, at least on the commune, like, no matter what, it is about them. Like, nobody puts up with that shit. You know, at least someone's like, but he was a great swimmer. But sometimes they're like, he was a great facilitator. And he was really great at open communication. And he really knew how to germinate seeds well. But we're still going to kick him out. Because we're not fucking patriarchal fuck faces.
Have you heard his cover of Wonderwall?
It would be more like, have you heard his cover of Medicine for the People? It totally opened my third eye chakra. But not to misrepresent communes. There's actually people who are not your stereotypical hippies living on communes, tons of them. Tons of people who are, like, very skilled at building things and, like, know a lot of alternative gardening practices, just to keep it real. Yeah, a lot of very interesting stuff. So you wanted to talk a little bit about the National Lawyers Guild, right? And talk to me about that.
Cool. So, you know, if you are in New York and you're at any of these sort of protests, which I feel, please protest, speak up, well, you know.
If that's like, the way you're able to, there are other ways to get involved, too. And we could talk about that more, but talk about National Lawyers.
Absolutely. So yeah, you know, speak up while the press is still free. And if you do witness someone getting arrested on the street for protesting such things, you can actually call 212-679-6018.
Repeat that number.
All right. Again, that was 212-679-6018. So, you know, if you see someone or whatever just getting arrested for, like, just, like, a peaceful protest, like, there are lawyers, like, in New York who'd, like, have your back. So, you know.
Yeah.
People who, like, have those sort of, like, because, fuck, I'll never be a lawyer. Like, I don't have the energy for it. But, like, there are, like, lawyers and activists, like, you can align yourself with, like, that, like, they
collectivism have under Trump. Collectivism under Trump. Collectivism above Trump. Collectivism above Trump. Keep going, Sarah Dillon.
I mean, you know, and this is, like, a thing that, I mean, I never listened to podcasts, which is, like, the whitest thing I've said. But, like, I'm like, fuck, like, I'm, like, listening to podcasts. I'm just looking where activists are and numbers you can call and, like, organizations you can, like, you know, fucking.
Because let me tell you, a lot of these organizations, I think what I'm worried about is a lot of these organizations that are non-for-profit, that are have relations to the government and stuff, are going to lose a lot of this funding. So we're really going to have to pull up our bootstraps and individually organize. But, like, actually, it's kind of funny because there's this whole, like, private versus state thing. Mm-hmm. And, like, right now what's going to happen is the state's not really going to work for a lot of people, and it hasn't for a long time. So don't get it into your head that, like, the state has worked for people for a certain amount of time, and now that it's Trump, it's suddenly going to go away. The state has not worked for people for a very long time. You know, like, think about how long it took to get gay marriage legalized, and, like, Right. Think about how, like, we don't even have a lot of, like, anti-discrimination laws, and think about how long it took Obama to do something about Dakota Pipeline, and it's not even over. They just, like, fucking moved it. They're up and moved it, and who knows if they're really going to do that, you know? I guess the point I'm making is these issues have been issues for a very long time. But it is really good to be looking into all of this stuff and thinking about how we're going to have to privatize these things in a different way. People tend to associate private with, like, extreme capitalism and, like, you know, Ayn Rand bullshit, if you know what that means. Like, very individualist, like, get as much money as possible. Like, but, like, there's, like, definitely going to have to be, unfortunately, because there is a monetary system, mm-hmm. we're going to have to be looking for ways to make money for these things. So people are going to have to. Here's the thing.
Even if you don't have money and you want to volunteer your time at Planned Parenthood or, like, you know, like the, like, local ACLU.
Time, not just money.
Time.
Yeah.
You can donate time if you don't have money, because I don't have a lot of money. I mean, fuck, I'm a starving artist.
You can donate time, and if you have any extra resources, you can also donate those things. And also, don't forget that there are a lot of resources that go to waste, and hopefully these things do not get done away with, but you can dumpster dive. There are different places that throw out tons and tons of edible, very, very edible food, like, a day, and you can make this into food, and or you can give it out to people. Mm-hmm. There's a lot you can be doing, baby cakes.
Mm-hmm.
So I also think it is super important to be to be thinking about this, though, like how we're going to, if Trump does anything decent with taxes, you know, they keep saying, he keeps, people are like, he's going to lower taxes or whatever, whatever. I don't know if I believe that at all. But if he does, think about what you can do with that money. He's not going to be taxing you for it. You know what I mean? Like, donate to these organizations that might lose their funding. Like, Planned Parenthood very well might lose its funding. But it's, you know, it's partially private and partially public. So they'll still have some funding otherwise. And there are tons of people doing Planned Parenthood fundraisers. So just, like, don't let that stop. If you have a space, if you have a band in space and you tell people what you're fundraising for, people will come. You know, like, why don't we organize a fundraiser? So we have this other guy, Momo, gets here. When he gets here, let's organize a fundraiser right here on the air. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about where we could have a fundraiser.
Hey, fucking, you know.
Yes, yeah, so Sarah, tell me about this Woodbine Foundation. Did you already tell me about that? No, you didn't. This is before the show. Talk to me about Woodbine Foundation.
Cool. So Woodbine Foundation is it's actually another foundation that has its roots in Brooklyn and also online. But it's this group of, like, environmentalists, like scientists, teachers, like fucking...
all the smart people who don't get paid enough, usually.
But it's basically like a think tank of folks that just get together and say, like, hey, I want to learn more about renewable energy. Like, you can meet up with someone there. They also have a website. Like, you can meet up, like, share your – it's like these young, like, visionary thinkers who, like, are sharing their ideas of, like, hey, what would save the world, you know? And, you know, it's like there are, like, places out there and, like – people that, you know, have the same, like, thoughts and also fears about what's happening. And, like, they care. And, like, you can actually learn something
new.
Yeah,
they care.
Like... but you can learn, I mean, I don't know. You said living in a commune, you learned how, like gardening or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Hey,
so, that's Sarah, useful. It is useful. There are so many useful skills you could be learning right now. Learn how to be as self-sufficient as possible. Like, learn how to garden. Learn some, like, conflict resolution skills. You can come most Sundays. If it's the Sunday of Christmas, don't come. But if it's the Sunday of New Year's, don't come. Or after New Year's that weekend. But there's this trauma healing group I'm doing at Tarot Society, which is at 4 Charles Place. It's at 4 Charles Place in Bushwick. It's from noon to 2 every Sunday. Everyone has a spirit animal. Some people have a permanent, consistent spirit animal. But I have a different spirit animal every single day. What is my spirit animal today? Today, my spirit animal is a hermit crab. Because I just want to be defined and interpreted by the colors that I wear. And I want to grow too big for my clothes and have to get new ones. And I want to pass down my shells, my clothes, to create other trendy, fashionably defined hermit crabs. That's my spirit animal. Hello, everybody. So we did the first segment with just Sarah Jane Dillon, but now we're here with Momo Puja.
Yo.
Yeah, hey. So we're going to talk about more about what would save the world on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm just telling you all, one way you can get involved is by going to the Trauma Healing Support Group at Tarot Society every Sunday from noon to 2. And we do some cool shit stuff. Sometimes we just talk. Sometimes we have tea. We play little games, trust each other more. And we're trying to start, like, a little collective-y kind of love thing, because that's what we need to do now that the apocalypse has happened. But again, you know, it's not like we didn't need this before, but everybody wants to pretend like that. That's what we've been talking about a little bit, Momo, before you came here, a little bit, how, like, join these organizations, get in contact with these things, protest, do this, and how everybody wants to pretend like Trump won and now everything's suddenly going to get so much worse.
No.
Like it wasn't fucked already.
No. I think that all this does is just, like, gives us an opportunity to realize how fucked up things are. Mm. And I think that now people are like, oh, shit, it isn't all good. I've been smiling when I should have been, like, you know, just feeling something inside. But
yeah, I mean, it's like good to smile if you want to. But, like, you got to, like, know what the hell's going on.
Aware. Just be aware.
Be aware of the awakening.
Yep.
We're all woke as fuck.
Yeah, we're woke. Yeah.
Are we?
We are super woke.
I don't know.
I think we're at the steps right before woke. Like, what
are the stages of woke, like the stages of
grief. Exactly. I think that there's stages of wokeness at this point.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think the stages of woke are?
I think that sleeping, you have to be first asleep. Like, I think that you have to be dead asleep, and then I think that, like, you just start twitching a little bit, and then it's like, you know, a yawn. Maybe, like, you move on to a yawn.
You inhale just a little
inhale
bit too
just
much
a little
for a
bit.
Minute.
Yeah, like, you know, you breathe it in, and then it's like your eyes are open. And then when you have your cup of coffee, then you're actually awake. So I think that in the woke steps, we're probably at yawn right now.
Yeah, like for sure.
It's like that clearing out, like, ugh. Then people are
gonna have
to stretch.
I run into people sometimes where, like, there's this very obvious, like, I almost don't even, like, say the word woke, like, ever. Yeah. But sometimes I run into people who are like, I am so woke. Like, imagine if, like, this was my radio show right now where you guys came on and we all just were like, yeah, we're, like, so woke. And how do we get everybody else to be woke? But sometimes I feel like I sound like that, like, on a different kind of level. Like, I love to just get up on stage and call myself an anarcho-matriarcho-communist. And let me repeat that. I'm like, I'm an anarcho-matriarchal communist. And people are like, what are you even saying? And I'm like, you just don't understand me.
I can't even say it.
Matriarchal communist.
What does that mean?
Oh my God. I have it written down. I can tell you all.
Google gobble.
I wrote this down when I was high. So I made this, like, little Venn diagram or this chart thing with words I wrote. Anarcho-matriarchal communism. So anarcho is, like, no class, no hierarchy, which is also some amount of communism. Like, everybody shares resources. And then it's, like, all voluntary. So I don't know if it could even exist, really, because I don't think everybody would volunteer to live this way, but people are greedy as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was, like, overall goal of anarcho-matriarchal communism is, I feel like matriarchal is different than patriarchal, where patriarchal is very, like, what is called masculine, mm-hmm. but is not necessarily associated with men. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, and matriarchal is what would be typically associated with women, but it shouldn't be, but, like, the feminine. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the feminine is very, like, group oriented and commune oriented. Mm-hmm. So it's like the reward, instead of just getting a bunch of stuff, would be to get everybody what they need, mm-hmm. no matter what that might be. Like, that would be the reward in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a value thing that I think that doesn't exist in our society, is but that's not as highly valued as a lot of individualistic things.
Well, I think that there's a total rejection of feminine ideals within men. Like, they associate femininity or the feminine with weakness. Exactly. And so it's like, when you reject what is ostensibly 50% of yourself, constantly rejecting it, I think that is a source.
And women do it too.
Oh yeah,
women feel the need to be masculine. That's where we get this, like, internalized sexism thing.
Yep.
And then it's all, but then so it's like it's very weird. I talk to women who either, like, are completely rejecting the feminine. Like, I'm like that sometimes. Like, I'm like, I never want to, you know, have children. I don't want to be tied down by this. I want to be my own individual. But then at the same time, I'm like, I want to start communities, and I don't want to lead. I want to organize and facilitate, mm-hmm. but I want other people to do it too.
Mm-hmm.
My hippie bullshit. But
I like it though.
Thank you. I meet women who are like, I would never be a sex worker. And that's fine. You never be a sex worker if you don't want to. But it's, like, almost like looking down on other sex workers, which is, like, super bizarre to me. It's like, why do you give? It's like the same thing where people are like, oh, somebody told me that their parents think that if gay people can get married, it lessens the value of their heterosexual marriage. Like, what does that have to do with anything? Like, so if I have sex for money, that lessens your sexual life.
Yeah.
Like, it cheapens it or something because your husband could pay me for sex. Like,
well,
I don't have sex for money. I do other things, but it doesn't matter.
Maybe that's how they identify themselves, you know? Like, they identify themselves through their sexuality, and so you're kind of like, they're projecting it onto you, you know? that type
of thing. Yeah, but like, I guess that's the problem. It's like, why does everybody have to be the fucking same? And I think that's what people are afraid of within like communism. They're like, why does everybody have to be the exact same? It's not about that. It's about everybody having access
to like basic human rights.
Access to basic human rights.
Like, is that something that we have to talk about? Like, I can't believe that. Like, that's even a disgust thing. Like, yeah, I just want to live. I want to be able to be alive. Is that cool? Like, well, I don't know.
I don't know, man. Like,
do you want to be my property? Do you want to be my property? You can be alive if you can be my property, bro. But
is it a right or is it a good? Like, why is that like an argument we're still having? Like, is this human a right or a good, or is this like, I don't understand that psychology. I'm not that, so I don't know. Or maybe I was. Maybe I am. I don't know. Maybe there's something I don't understand. But like,
do you look within to find these answers, or do you look into other people?
I mean, I know that I don't want to do anything like oppressive in any way, but like, I know that other people like do things that are oppressive, whether they want to or not. I don't really know what their real intention is, so that's why it's confusing.
I think that people are intentionally oppressive because it's like endorphins get released when you exert power in any type of way. So it's like, to oppress a person or to keep somebody down, in their minds, they're elevating themselves. So it's like a constant stepping on other people just so I can feel elevated, when the truth is you can feel elevated at any time.
For sure. Like, I'm wondering if we could change what releases power chemicals, like what interactions release power chemicals. Like, I feel powerful when I am able to make a difficult situation, social situation, work out. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, personally, I feel powerful. Like, if two people are not getting along and I can make it work out, then I actually feel really powerful.
Yeah, me and Sarah were about to kill each other right before these mics came on, and then two just...
Easy, easy. We're on the air. We're live.
I got the magic in the mic, bitch.
Those are endorphins you guys hear percolating in our brain.
Yeah, we got endorphins.
I think
I could be any mythical creature, it would be an endorphin.
Oh my god, that's really fun. I could be an endorphin. One of my nicknames.
Please book me on your shows.
One of my nicknames growing up was Serotonin.
Serotonin. Oh,
this season, on What Would Save the World, I have hired a reporter named John Hannison. He has been in Texas investigating a specific occurrence. There has been a new segment on my show called A Heartbeat Underground that has been on for the past couple weeks. And here he is now, John Hannison, calling in. How are you, John?
Hello, I'm well. I'm well. To get low.
Yes.
To get low.
Yes, John. And John Hannison, listeners, just so you know, the reason why I hired him is because he used to work for NPR and CBS.
That's right, NPR and BBS.
Yeah.
To get low.
Yes. So, how are you doing with the Heartbeat Underground? Why did you name it that?
Very, very well. Because there's an underground movement of activism in this country, and I report on it. Have you played my newest piece?
I have been playing them every week or every couple of weeks.
Could you please play my newest piece soon?
I certainly will, John Hannison. I did hire you because you work for NPR and CBS.
That's right, NPR and BBS.
Yes, you work for NPR and CBS.
NPR and BBS.
So tell me more about Yahwehseus.
When it's the right time, please play my newest report.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little concerned about you right now.
As am I. And as is the mayor.
Okay, I'm going to go back to my show now.
Please play my report.
I will play your report. Be in touch. Goodbye.
Goodbye to Gedlo.
Okay, apparently that guy is not who I thought he was. All right, let's get back to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
What would save the world? I think that it's a three-step process. I think that woke is a step. Like, you need to just be aware of what is occurring inside of yourself and what's occurring to others. You know, once you're just aware of it, I think that that's what woke means. I think that once you're aware of it, you need to actually consider what is then occurring. So this is the worst paper. I was going to roll weed. That would make the world better. But I think that once you are aware of what's happening to other people, you have to consider now what has happened before you entered into this world. Like, what was going on between people in relationships, and then how have you grown in it as a part of it? And then I think that the third step would then have to be action after you've considered what your options are. So I think you have to be aware of a situation, consider what the situation actually is, and then move towards action. I think if people took those three steps inside, outside, and all based relationships that they have with themselves and one another, I think the world would be a much better place as a result.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you. It's like about being like an active member of society. Yes. And being conscious of what's going on around you.
I have
being my, considerate too.
Yeah, I just like literally. And that's step two. Just consider like what's happening around you. But like my internal monologue is continually: are you a fully functional human being right now? Like I think about that like all the time. Like, are you emotionally aware right now? Are you, you know, intellectually aware, spiritually aware, you know, physically aware? Like, are you functioning? Like, do you feel your brain working? Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? It's because I think it's mostly smoking all this weed, the catatonic shit, which is making you feel retarded. But like, if you just like keep your mind awake and your spirit and your
body.
Yeah,
if you keep moving, or if you get high and you immediately go do something, you will find someone. But you know, this is not to advocate that everybody should get high. Let's just put that out there. No. Some people it doesn't work. I don't know. I was always like, you know, it's the radio. You know, you never know. I have like some kids following me on Twitter that are like, you
smoke
know, like
crack.
17-year-old anarchist kids who like hit me up and they're like, hey, I've been doing this job, but I really think I should be hopping trains. Like, and so I'm like, now I'm a little nervous. It's like, they're listening to the crazy shit I say on my show.
I don't want that kind of responsibility. Yeah. This is all said in jest, people.
Yeah, it's all said in jest. I feel like I always just want to wear the weight of everything on my shoulders. You know, I feel so.
What's up with the war on fun, you guys?
Yeah, right. Stop smiling.
I want to play you guys something really funny.
Yes.
And see what you guys think of. I haven't done
my
this.
Stand up?
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh yeah.
Nice plug.
Go to that Donald. What's the day of that Donald Trump festival?
I can do that right now. So it is starting Friday, January 13th at 6 p.m. At the Experiment Comedy Gallery,
I always call it the Experimental. I don't know what the fuck is up with my life.
I thought it was the Experimental.
It's just the Experiment.
The Experiment.
Mm. 272 Grand Street, basement level, the Trump Bunker, as Mo likes to
Trump
coin
bunker.
It. Brooklyn, New York. It's in Williamsburg.
It's at 272 Grand Street, basement level. You can get there off of the J on Marcy. You can get there off of, I think, the G on Lorimer accesses it too. And you can get Bedford or Metropolitan, you know, whatever.
It's in that nexus.
Yeah, it's very convenient. So I haven't done this on my show this season yet, but I want you guys to heckle this video.
All right.
It's called Tell Me Why. It's like the dumbest thing ever, but it's really funny. And I don't know. Let's just play it. Which is
this is a safe space because I.
All right.
Okay. It's by Declan Gabareth here. You can say whatever you want about it. And if it doesn't work out, we'll turn it off. But I think this is so funny.
Am I racist because I already see a white kid? I'm like, man, what's this about? What's about to happen?
That's exactly how you should feel about it. So this is so embarrassing.
Oh, he's singing?
This is so embarrassing that this exists.
Oh, man. It's just like the...
Wow. The children are our future. They're fucking kill me now.
Was that the Syrian kid? The Syrian refugee kid?
He's E.T. after he got surgery to become a human. Oh, yeah, you gotta look up the video. Tell me why.
This music is so doctored. Oh, my God.
Tell Me Why by Declan Gabareth. You should watch the music video with us.
Tell me why you didn't have a budget for a video. Oh, my God. Is he really doing what he's doing?
He's like showing pictures.
Showing black people.
I don't understand why anybody made this.
The cost of a cup of coffee. Is Sarah McLachlan going to show up?
I really hope a dog is going to get beat up in this infomercial. I used to be a little black kid, but then they put me in the... these dockers, but now I'm
about nothing he understands.
He knows, yeah, he has no
emotional capacity. I imagine his parents giving him the thumbs up from off the screen.
Just like, you're gonna make a difference, kid.
He looks like one of those people who's actually a million years old but just steals the souls of other young kids so he can stay young.
He's like a Charles Dickens novel.
He's like Dorian Gray or some shit, dude. Aww. Was that me?
This is such a fucked up. This is why I just, because this is like fucking awful. Yeah, this song is so bad, but it's so funny to play it on a show.
Tell me why do black people exist? Tell me why.
Why those guys?
Can you, wait, can you believe somebody fucking
tell me why?
Kids in a class, past society.
I bet you like some of these kids are actually happy. They're just showing. Oh, well, not that
God
kid.
Damn, dude.
Oh, this man is so fucked up. I think it's so funny to like have it on a show called What Would Save the World and like play this. Like to not make music like
not
this.
Not make music like this, yes. Oh man.
Change.
What bad things don't I know about, Mom? Have you heard about this one? Why? How about this one? Why?
Also, are we there yet?
I want to watch TV. Can I have the iPad now? Or something, this song. Can I have the iPad? It was just literally footage of early 90s Rwanda in Africa. A couple Vietnamese kids. You know there's bad things happening all over the world, right? Like,
and he like thinks he's Justin Bieber.
I bet you...
Justin, look at his
Justin
face.
Bieber, his brother that was less successful, so his
just off Bieber. Or just out, whatever.
Can't you tell me
just
why? Damn, tell me why.
I hate this guy.
I want to remake this with just me with like Donald Trump at
is
the
he
back.
Pants?
No. So, folks, if you. Are like confused,
yeah.
Don't understand.
Tell me why we had to listen to
if
that.
If you guys are listening to this and you're like, why the hell did Took play that? It's because
tell
it's funny.
Why.
You can think you can you probably
tell
ask
me why.
You're probably asking yourself, why does she even have a radio show? And I can tell you that I don't know why.
he knows, he's trying to figure that out. Too.
I'm like, tell me why. So we're on Radio Free Brooklyn. And you're listening to What Would Save the World, and that was Momo Pooja and Sarah Jane Dillon heckling Tell Me Why by Declan Gabareth. You can find it on facebook.com/whatwouldsavetheworld. Feel free to tweet at me about how fucking ridiculous that shit was. Also, I want to say I'm going to be on MTV sometime this winter. It's going to be a bad look. It's going to be a bad look. They came out to Staten Island and filmed me when I was, like, living in this commune that got bed bugs.
Uh-oh.
So I was just a total bitch and crazy and exhausted. So it's going to look terrible. Aww. And I am, like, actually, like, afraid a little bit because it's going to be, like, right now all this Trump shit and, like, me on there. They're going to be like, you lived hard. We're going to fucking kill you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's their MO.
Yeah, it's some fucked shit. Yeah.
Tell me why.
You're gonna kill me.
Why do you wanna kill me?
Can I ask you a serious question about MTV?
Oh, God, yes.
Did anyone play the songs that Carson Daly totally requested live?
Wait, what?
Did anyone ever play his favorite song?
I don't know. I don't know any.
Maybe that was his favorite song.
Declan. Declan Gilbraith.
Declan Gabareth.
He's like, all right, so
he makes even worse music
now. This song, right?
See, the scary part is that like that's like the best song he has.
There's his other songs. Tell me how. Tell me what. Tell me what.
The other songs are called.
Show me what.
The other ones are called. My mother doesn't love
show,
me.
Don't tell me why.
The other song's called My Mother Doesn't Love Me.
Dude.
Oh, with a talent like that. Yeah, and I dig it. Watch that turn out to be my favorite song, too.
Yeah. So, Momo, I want to know, why do you want to... What's this thing with the death to sarcasm?
Ooh. Oh, yeah. I fucking hate sarcasm. I think that dishonesty...
Oh, really? Do you hate sarcasm?
Oh, yeah. I, like, really, do. Nah,
really?
I think sarcasm's a useful tool, but sarcasm's really, like... the lowest form of communication, in my opinion. Like, you guys ever see that South Park episode on Sarcastaball? Where they, yeah, well, like, basically people in this episode, they were so sarcastic, they couldn't tell if they were being sarcastic anymore. So they actually don't know when they're being honest. They're so used to living in this, like, veneer of deflecting things. Like, oh, that didn't matter. Like, oh, you're crying, you care about this. Like, that type of sardonic, cynical, sarcastic shit. I think it's gross, man. I think that we need to start being honest again. Like, actually, like, what do you really think about something? Like, does that matter to you? And not hide it behind sarcasm to, like, as a defense mechanism to information and shit like that.
Yeah, do you think sarcasm is just like a defense mechanism?
Yeah, and I think that that stops that. People from loving.
I hear that. I think a lot of things are fucking defense mechanisms. Like, I think that, like, what about shit, where it's like...
I'm sorry.
No, you know how people, like, will do this shit where, like, I feel this way about something. They're like, oh, yeah, well, what about people who feel this way about this?
Yep.
It's like, I wasn't talking about that.
That's cynicism.
Is that cynicism?
Yeah.
Isn't cynicism, like, having doubts about everything?
Yeah.
Oh, I have doubts about everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's important to ask questions.
Yeah, I don't doubts about people's emotional reactions to stuff, though. Like, if they tell me they feel some way about something, I'm not going to be like, oh, well, do you, like, do you know what it was harder for somebody else? I don't know if that's cynicism. That's just being a fucking dickhead. Like, being cynical was me being like, well, you know, like, Donald Trump is going to be a shitty president, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Okay.
That's cynical. I just femsplained the definition of cynical.
Oh god, I'm lactating.
So what's this know thyself and the truth? What is the truth, Momo?
Right now. Oh,
I'm on my period right now. It's like so terrible. Yeah, I thought you were about to say I'm trying to get my period.
No. I wish I could. I'd like to join in. No, I don't.
You don't want to paint with our blood? What the fuck?
Is this what's really out? Is the craft? Is this the
yeah.
My blood. Yeah. Your blood. Our blood.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry.
Whose blood? Our blood. So, yeah, you were telling me about the truth. Tell me about the truth.
I think just trying to figure out what the truth is. I think everyone has their own truth. I think that there's many truths. Or there's one truth. There's many paths to that truth. And, you know, just figuring out yourself will help you get there. I think. If we're trying to save the world, I think that really what we're saying is that we're trying to just bring more light into the world, you know, like just trying to make it a little bit brighter place. I think you can't be bright if you're hiding something, and I think that truth is just shining light on something. So you could be your own truth. You can just try to, you know, illuminate things and find out what's true, what's bright, what's real, what's creating light instead of being a black hole.
What do you think is creating light, guys?
Positivity.
Sarah, what do you think is creating light?
Comedy.
True.
You think comedy is creating? Do you think comedy is like, you were talking about how sarcasm is the lowest form of communication. That makes me think about how, like, people say that, like, sarcasm is the lowest form of comedy. Do people say that?
That's what I meant.
Yeah, you said the lowest form of communication. Do you think that comedy and communication are, like, very similar words? Do you think, like, that the root of comedy comes from communication?
I could see where they would be one and the same. I think comedy is... the act of turning something true funny. Like, you can make anything sad, you can make it angsty, whatever, but comedy is to trying to make what's real funny.
Make light of any situation, and you're saying, no matter what you find yourself.
But right, what did you just say? Make light of it, making light. Like, you know, like, we can look at light as in weight and darkness and depth and down, and we can look at light like illumination and brilliance, you know? I think that we laugh at something that's new and interesting told for a humorous effect. Like, look at us breaking down comedy. Like, it's fucking hilarious. But and I think that, like, a new idea, like, when you tell a joke to somebody but you twist something, they didn't see it coming. It's creating a spark, like a new synapse in their mind. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah,
that's, create some sort of warmth.
Yeah, that's all we're trying to do. Like, I just want to create warmth for people. So I'm an arsonist. See what I mean?
But what about people who like it cold? You know, it's like, I just don't know. Like, you know, everybody's like, coexist. But what I keep thinking about is, like, how do we fucking get rid of the bigotry? Like, how do we, like, can we create utopia? No, we can't, because you can't always have what you want. But can we create a weetopia?
A weetopia.
Ooh. Yeah, this is my shit. Us-topia. This is like my... Yeah, Ustopia works. Weetopia, fuck Meetopia.
Yeah.
Utopia kind of sucks too. Like, It stresses me out so much. Like, honestly, it's making me get my period even harder.
I mean, if it was that simple, it'd be called a utopia. Duh.
Oh, Jesus.
God, I'm going to start calling it that. I'm going to be like, that's what I'm going to start saying to people who, like, can't handle, like, gay marriage and all that stuff. I'm going to be like, look, you can have your utopia, duh.
Yeah.
Just, like, don't worry about those people.
Yeah.
Like, and I, like, could, like, just not worry about bigots, but they want to fucking kill me and my friends. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think they want to kill everything, and I think that...
Including themselves, probably. Yes. That's pretty sad.
Yeah, that's the sad part. Like, I think that there's just a balance to everything. You're never going to get rid of darkness, because without darkness, there's no light, and there's no...
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive.
Cool. Oh, no, it's the balance. I'm sorry. I'm just being weird.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think the balance
being
is...
Being cynical.
Yeah, see that? No, I think the balance is beauty. I think that there's... You have these people so that you can enjoy the beautiful more and just know that there's always going to be the yin and yang. It's the yin and yang, the thing.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and feminism is about
feminism.
I wrote this thought down earlier. I was just like, support safe spaces for everyone. Love. Reach out.
Not for everyone.
Self-love.
Not for
stay
everyone.
Aware.
See, fuck
stay
that.
Vigilant. Say light. And I'm just like, this sounds like the beginning of like a superhero movie.
Yes! No, it's a good mantra. It sounds like a good mantra. What's see, wrong with a safe space? But like, see, what the fuck is that? I don't get that shit.
No, let me say something. So a safe space is like somewhere where it's okay to like be
express
real
yourself.
About your traumas and express yourself and be like expected to be like taken care of a little bit if you say something and like a lot of mutual aid and mutual support. But here's the thing, like it's a safe space for like everyone to a point, but like it's not a safe space for you to like be a fucking blatant racist and be like, you have to accept me for who I am. So that's where I get upset. People are like, isn't this a safe space? I need a safe space. I have all these Trump people who are like, I need a safe space now. But guys, we got like 5 minutes left here. So
have you tried being a white straight man?
Yeah, exactly, right? So, yeah,
oh, my God.
Have you pretty much gotten your fucking way for the last million fucking
forever.
Years?
I saw these comedians. I saw these comedians at the Cinderblock Comedy Festival. Keisha Zoller was one of the comedians in this troupe. I don't remember everybody else's names, but they were, like, really awesome. They are all, like, women of color, and they did this act called, like, have you tried, like, white cream, and it was like this white cream they put on that like made them white, and like oh how they got treated differently and mm-hmm. stuff. Like, have you tried being white? They did like a fake commercial.
I mean, I think that a safe space should exist for any person that wants to express themselves in a certain way. Like, I think that if you want to share ideas and debate the logic in your ideas, that's all fair game. However, if you're just trying to implant on me racist, sexist bullshit, I don't give a fuck about what you have to say. I'm going to treat you like the piece of shit that you actually are.
I'm going to treat you like the duty that did that left my butt weeks ago.
Yeah, man. Flush that shit.
Yeah, shit's gone. That yeah, shit.
Can we have like a toilet flush?
Yeah,
like,
we should just have like,
can we have some wild and white?
Z100, we should have.
Yo, isn't this like some kid shit that we're just like, yo, let's just like put our, we just like dissolved it to poop jokes.
Best, man.
Flush bigotry down flush the toilet. Down
no, but you know what we're supposed to do with bigotry? We're not supposed
more like
to.
Donald Trump.
Guys, I gotta make a speech about poop for a minute.
Uh-oh, let's hear it.
So, when there is poop, you should not just be letting it just dissolve into the water and poisoning the water. Instead, you should be allowing it to turn into soil.
Yeah.
And have flowers grow out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Have light grow from the darkness. Yeah. But I also think it's really weird that we call light, light and darkness, darkness, where it's like we associate nighttime with bad and light in the daytime with good.
It's the unknown.
We need new metaphors and we need new traditions, everybody. So I want to say, as we go off this very cheesy and very bizarre pothead show... Yeah, yawn at me. Thank you, baby cakes.
Yeah.
I want to say thank you all so much.
Are you awoke now?
I'm woke.
I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you all so much for listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I was here today with Momo Pooja and Sarah Day, Jane Dillon. Do you guys have any last words before we turn it off for the day?
So woke.
Man, I'm so woke. I feel good. Woman.
Woman. Do you feel better? Was this refreshing? Should I start advertising What Would Save the World as the therapeutic experience? This is the community organization, guys.
Yeah, it feels great.
All right, so you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. You can check me out on Facebook.com/What Would Save the World. You can also listen to Radio Free Brooklyn by going to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com anytime, because you might be listening on my fucking archives, and you can find that on audioboom.com/channel/What Would Save the World with dashes in between every What Would Save the World. You can also find me on RadioFreeBrooklyn.com, What Would Save the World. If you look for my show on there, you'll find some of my archive shows. And I love smoking weed. I'm going to go smoke some weed. And I want to say that you should donate to our Patreon, patreon.com/RadioFreeBrooklyn. If you like community freeform radio, I can say fuck on the radio. Fuck bigots. Fuck Donald Trump.
Fuck them.
Fuck it. Fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself, because I want you to come really hard, because that might save the world. What would save the world?
Yeah.
Hello, again, you're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. Hello, my name is Tuke Edelo. I think a lot about how people are motivated, why people do the jobs they do, and I feel like a lot of times work is something somebody doesn't really like, but they take pride in it. Like, people think of work like you need to have money as a reward because you don't like your job, it feels like. I was having a discussion with a friend the other night, and they were talking about this. They were talking about reward systems, and that people just cannot get out of this concept of money. It's like people should get something back for the work they do. But to me, that sort of exchange, I don't know if it doesn't have to be like material like that. And I understand we have needs, and there are actually literally things we need to have in order to survive, but why are we giving these things to people in exchange for other stuff? Like, it makes sense logically, I understand that, but I don't understand why the reward can't simply be that everybody is getting their needs met. And I know that's like so vague and like hippy-dippy as fuck, but I think we could figure out how to efficiently manage our resources and have everybody get the things they need, and have people's needs getting met seem like they are, that is the reward. Like, the reward is you do work with the intention of improving not just your life, but other people's lives. And I think there are so many different ways to do that. I hate when people are like, oh, get a real job to like a musician on the street, but like think serving frozen yogurt is a real job. And that is, there's a real job. I'm not trying to knock anybody who sells frozen yogurt. Like, I would probably do it if I got paid, if I needed to get paid, if I needed a job, and that's what the job I could get. Like, that makes sense. I also,
today, my spirit animal is Irish Spring Body Gel, because I want society to validate my masculinity. I need to feel validated for how strong I am physically. I'm very emotionally weak, which is why I need you to validate me. Tell me my muscles are sexy. Tell me I smell like James Bond. Tell me I smell like James Dean. Tell me I smell like the most powerful man. Tell me I smell irresistible. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's Irish Spring Body Gel. That's my spirit animal today.